The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, lots of you out there would have heard of fast fashion. We're all familiar with it and the perils of it. But what about fast furniture? Architect Roisin Murphy is with me in studio. Roisin, what is fast furniture?
It's a problem. It's a big problem. Like, we have fast fashion problems, but fast furniture, I think, has been getting faster and faster over the last couple of years. We are seeing the kind of the micro part of it, like the accessories and stuff, the price come down and the material quality in it really drop. But people are treating small items of furniture like they're expendable, like accessories and small mirrors and vases and things like that. But it's also in bigger pieces of furniture, which is a problem. Like, we are finding that there's big items of furniture that aren't worth, when you talk to upholsterers. I was talking to Mia, an upholsterer, today, and she's saying there's some furniture she will not reupholster because it's not made with the same quality of furniture that needs to sustain its lifetime. It's not worth it, basically.
Okay.
Because it's made of cardboard, or its joints aren't correctly made. So there's a whole school of people out there who are kind of looking at the furniture decrease in quality and really not be designed to be generational, which, say, your average sofa is generational, your average kitchen table is generational.
Yeah. So the fast fashion comparison, it's one thing to be throwing away a cheap t-shirt that you bought. It's another when it's a sofa.
It is,
or kitchen chairs, or a dining room table.
Yeah, and even kitchens, in the extent that when you I think I was on a site one of the days, and one of the builders said, "This is just so sad. I'm going in, I'm ripping out the kitchen." He might put a bit of granite on if he's got another client who's looking for it.
Yeah.
And then he's putting a new one in. Whereas I think that we have to see ourselves like painting cabinet doors, redoing cabinet doors, finding ways in which we're not kind of constantly recycling. And not recycling, constantly ripping things out and replacing them. But the sofas in particular, and
it's funny,
tables.
Sorry, someone made a comment to us when we were building, and I thought it was really interesting. Yeah. They said, "Oh, that's a nice shape of a kitchen because it'll be very easy to change the kitchen if you want it in a few years."
I know. Sad,
do you know, because there wasn't any kind of nooks and crannies. It was kind of a straight kind of rectangular room, as it were.
And
I said, "That's great because that'll be very easy in 10 years if you get bored of this kitchen. To rip it out and put in a new one."
And it's like that with bathrooms as well. Like, the first thing that people rip out are bathrooms and kitchens. They go into a house and they rip them out. And they can, like, I've seen people buy £2 million houses, and I know exactly what they're talking about when they say, "I can't live with a bathroom because the bathroom has been done up to the hilt for the 20, that extreme kind of minimalism. And it's an old Victorian house and they want a bit of texture." But you're thinking, God, you know, it's a lot of waste of earth resources. So you're kind of asking yourself, you know, years ago, the definition of a posh person, there was two things you knew as an interior designer. Was one, they had a gravel, they had a crunchy drive.
Oh, yeah. OK.
The other one is you inherit your furniture. So it's a matter of class in terms of how you buy that furniture. It doesn't mean you have to buy old all the time. Like, say, if you are a young person, it's a new house and you really like modern design. The idea was you would go and spend a lot of money on that piece of furniture. Now, I'm not advising people that just for the sake of materialism, but that sustains itself. It'll have things in it, like, say, I bought a sofa in the 90s that I was eye-watering price, but structurally it spans a whole distance. It's a 3 metre span. Whereas if you find now an awful lot of the sofas, more modern sofas, they have a pole in the middle of them that you'll notice that doesn't have quite the same spring because the structure can't span the same distance. So you're investing in kind of structure, in springs and in design. And they're not all just about how something looks. They're like, they're about how it performs over time.
But and when people are ripping out the bathroom, as it were, I guess that's not as problematic if they're repurposing some of the stuff they rip out. Whereas a lot of the time it's going into skips.
Well,
is it?
I think that's changed. I think I think the culture around, well, for some of us, and even in furniture, like the vintage furniture is here to stay. There's say we have shops that are doing mid-century furniture, but we have skips that are like trawled through where all the furniture is taken out. The avocado bathroom suite is now worth something to someone somewhere, so nobody throws it out. So it all goes to all of the yards that we see, Kilkenny Salvage, we see in Max Salvage.
Oh, the Maharajas, but give them a shout out.
But they go. They are like, that's, you buy your floors there now to add that thing of texture. So there's a hugely important element that's happened in design and industry where even in very, like, Grafton Architects, I was talking to one of the architects recently about that, the world famous architects designing foreign universities in Milan, and they have now been told to go to a warehouse and find old windows, and they're given out They're saying it's not possible, but at the same extent, salvage because of the earth's resources and the and because we've signed up to the Bauhaus Convention, which means you're not allowed to waste anything anymore in building, even the building itself, but likewise in furniture. We have a responsibility to the planet.
Yeah. I promise one of the Maharajas I'd be back out to buy shelves. And
I
if
have
they're
my
listening,
floor for
I'll be back. I am coming. I am coming. We were out there not too long ago buying something else.
What did you buy?
We actually bought a fire pit for the we did up the patio because we hadn't that hadn't been that was one of the things that gets got left by the wayside. It was just hardcore. So we did the patio and bought a fire pit.
There is a problem in the circular economy at the moment. This is one of the things that when I spoke to people today is that both there is no form of apprenticeship for upholstery at the moment. And the problem is the cost of, say, recovering a sofa at the moment is the same cost as purchasing a new one. This is one of the big problems about price point and everybody's squeezed. And they're saying they need desperately the Rediscovery Centre, who run a very small trainee programme there under NESA, and all the upholsterers are saying they need an apprenticeship programme in the country to, because they're inundated with requests. Like, people don't want to throw furniture out as well. People are looking at a sofa, but it's incredibly difficult to get somebody within a kind of reasonable time frame by the time you've decided that the sofa has seen its you know, better days to getting it covered. It's so they think it's a bit like roofers. There's no apprenticeship program for roofers. So you've no stream of qualification. You can register, but there's no qualifying kind of organisation or school organisation to educate people. So they're all having to go abroad to be educated.
I'm a carpenter, says one listener. If you want to get longer life from your IKEA furniture, use wood glue and a nailer if you have one. It'll add years to the stuff. Actually, Sive O'Neill is with us as well. Is a lecturer in TUD. Sive, I understand kind of your philosophy is the harder it is to put together, the longer it's going to last. Is that right?
Did I say that? Well, that just shows how little I know about furniture construction and putting them together. My kind of very simple rule of thumb around that kind of self-assembly furniture is that if it's put together properly, and that usually means in my case having to get someone else to do it, it will last longer. So I suspect your carpenter's right on the money there. But I suppose the bigger problem that I wanted to kind of mention is really the environmental impact. So when I was researching this today, I came across a figure that about 80% of the environmental impact is actually at the manufacturing level. Like, yes, of course, we need to do all that upcycling and recycling and not throw stuff out and not change things, you know, try to live with what we have. But a lot of the environmental impact is in the factory. And if you take IKEA, for example, they're opening an average of 50 new factories a year locations a year. And, you know how huge they are. It's incredible, the size of the place. And the materials that they use are now a lot of composites. So it's not just wood and metal. It's wood and metal and glues and everything's kind of mashed together to make these lightweight but not as high quality materials. So the materials then don't biodegrade and they're not easily sort of separated from each other for reuse. So that is part of the problem, is the at the design level, that the concept of circular design is not really gained the kind of primacy that you would expect. So the companies are very concerned to limit their energy use, limit their water use, limit waste. But the reality is that the whole business model is based on, you know, fast throughput, fast delivery and short lifespan of the product itself. And that leads to more waste at the end of it.
Well, you know, the idea that, you know, the nature of the demand is what will drive the nature of the supply, that the point Roisin makes, that there is maybe a kind of a growing awareness of that upcycling, of trying to keep things longer, of, you know.
There is. And I'll tell you something else.
Do you worry that's just a trend, or is it a thing that's more permanent?
Well, it's true that there is a trend. So once it becomes normal to change your kitchen or your sofa or whatever it is every 5 years instead of every 25 years, that is a kind of a cultural change. Yeah. And I suspect as well, young people that can't afford to buy their own place might be investing instead in kind of furniture that they can furniture and the look and possessions that they can kind of claim are their own and create their own space in a rental situation. And that's just a guess of mine. So I do appreciate that, you know, it's really hard for people who don't have the privilege of, you know, really thinking long and hard and investing in the long term in good quality furniture. But there are some options. I mean, Roisin has mentioned the Rediscovery Centre there. All around the country, there are Vincent de Paul shops that take and resell furniture. And some of them have fantastic, you know, fantastic items on offer at really low prices. And anything that we buy that's secondhand is obviously not going to landfill. And that's what happens to these items, even sofas and everything. They get chucked in a big hole in the ground. So the other thing is to try and find brands that are committed to circularity. And some brands will actually offer to buy the item back or repair it. Repair, learning the skills, upholstery, small kind of, you know, DIY stuff. It's always a great investment.
Just says, Kieran, it's simple. If you put it together, it's not quality. I don't know, is that a you in general or is that a you of me? Maybe it's me.
I think that what happened was the ethos of putting it together was first generated around the idea that it made design accessible for people who couldn't afford. There was a time when wardrobes, designed wardrobes were so expensive. Like they were just prohibitively expensive. It's why I got addicted to secondhand furniture and not designer furniture apart from the sofa. So it started out as a beautiful idea about democratic design, but unfortunately, it has turned into fast furniture, fast pack rather than flat pack. And the problem with that is exactly as said, that there is the way it's made is designed to be so light that it's not structural. But there are even there, you can still bring your furniture back to IKEA if you want to recirculate it. But also, if you are obliged to shop, you can do. There's free ads, which in adverts you can actually get furniture for free. There's a special part of it, but they also, you can kind of encourage people, you know, you bring them along the way and then force them. I flatly refused to buy a piece of furniture for one of my elder children recently unless they bought it from adverts. I said, I'm not doing it, we're not going to. So it took about a year of persuasion where they lived with everything on the floor, but then they were like, this is addictive, because they could see the quality in the furniture because it's so heavy, you don't have to wall it to the floor. So there's something about that in the sense of like old houses, old furniture has quality built into it in the wood. And that's what all of the upholsterers, all of them are saying. They don't do new furniture because it's horrible to work with because it's so badly made.
Roisin Murphy, Sive O'Neill, thank you both very much. I like this text. I sold a sofa to the Corrie set in Manchester when we were living there. There you go, beat that.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.